In last week's one-on-one, US guitarist Gary Lucas spoke about his many connections with the Czech Republic, where he has been visiting for 2 decades. Today, in the second part of an interview conducted by Ian Willoughby, he discusses working with some of the most distinctive musicians of the modern age.
This is Grace from the late Jeff Buckley's LP of the same title. It was co-written by the great US guitarist Gary Lucas, who I spoke to on a recent visit to Prague. Lucas may be best known for his long-term collaboration with the cult musician Captain Beefheart. But very early in his career, he also got the opportunity to work under one of the true greats of 20th century music, Leonard Bernstein.
One of the most profound influences on me as a boy in my development musically were Leonard Bernstein's Young People's Concerts, which was a series every couple of months on CBS Network in which Bernstein would play a youthful audience that he assembled at the Philharmonic Hall in New York City, works by composers such as Mahler and Stravinsky, and talk about them and give examples of their music. And I really grew into a love of classical music thanks to his example. He was a marvelous educator and personality. Years later, when I was at Yale University, I saw that they were looking for a lead guitar, electric guitar, to play in a production of Leonard Bernstein's Mass. Yes, he actually did a Catholic Mass, although it's very Catholic in the wider sense of the word. It's very eclectic.
That was related some way to John F. Kennedy, no?
Yeah, it was composed to inaugurate the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. Then the Yale Symphony Orchestra mounted a production for the European premiere in, this is the year 1973, and I got the part. I got the passed the audition, and I flew with about 40 or 50, 60 singers, instrumentalists, dancers to Vienna. That was the first time I set foot in Europe, and we did it at the Konzerthaus there in Vienna.
And what was Bernstein like at the personal level?
He was very warm. I'd use the word avuncular, and he drew me and other questioners into his orbit. When I met him, he looked me up and down, and I had a psychedelic haircut, what they used to call a Jufro. It was like a super afro like Jimi Hendrix. I had all teased out, and I was wearing glitter pants and glitter platform shoes and a black leotard top. And he said, "Oh, the David Bowie look," in a very nice way, in a friendly way. And we laughed about it, and I said to him, "Hey, I was playing the lead guitar tonight," because he was there to supervise the production. And he said, "Man, you were really wailing." So that was the most high honor and praise I ever received by any significant person up to that point.
Later, of course, you worked with and I think managed Captain Beefheart, a different kind of musical genius.
Yeah. Well, to me, Don Van Vliet was on as high a level. In fact, I'll tell you, as an artist, I've yet to meet anyone who was as fully formed and exuding art from every pore of his body 24/7 as Don Van Vliet. And I've worked with some of the biggest names in music, as you know. I love them all. I'm just saying, personally, for me, Don was my man.
There are stories about him being quite a tyrant to the Magic Band.
Sure he was. It's pretty well documented. And he could be really unreasonable and irrational and sometimes very mean. But I don't want to go there and tell stories on him. I mean, you can read the books. There are books that have come out by former Magic Band members, disgruntled accounts of working with him. It was like a baptism of fire. All I would say is, why did these members come back and keep working with him if there wasn't something worthwhile about it? So I'm really proud of having worked with him.
But wasn't it stultifying when he wouldn't let the musicians improvise?
Yeah, to a degree, but at that point in my career, I was just so, impressed with his overall approach to music. I was happy to subsume my own creative energies in improvisation and composing music to be subordinate to his vision. To me, it was like playing classical music where everything was scripted, but we didn't use music. Well, some of them did, you know, I mean, it, from time to time. I memorized all the parts, but I played them always identically night after night, because if you went off the script, there would be a train wreck.
Was there anything in particular you felt that you learned from Beefheart?
Well, yeah, one thing was he knew how to arrange his music for a small group of four or five people and make it sound symphonic with interlocking parts. That was one of his particular genius components. And I would say in another way, not that my music sounds anything like Don's, I would never presume to even aspire to this, but in terms of how I arrange for an ensemble like Gods and Monsters, my longtime band, I think I was influenced in terms of trying to get a big, full orchestral sound with just a few players.
Another name you're associated with, of course, is Jeff Buckley. Yeah. Tell us about how that collaboration came about.
Well, I was a big fan of his dad, Tim Buckley's, and one day in 91, I got a call from the producer impresario, Hal Wilner, who said, listen, I'm putting together a tribute to Tim Buckley. I said, oh, I love Tim Buckley. And he said, great. Listen, it's going to be at St. Anne's Church in Brooklyn. He had done some great concerts there. And he said, and I'm inviting so-and-so and so-and-so, and I'd love you to be part of it. And also, I think I'd like to try and put you with his son, Jeff. I said, I didn't know Tim had a son. He said, well, neither did we. No one knew of this. But he's come forward now that he heard about this, and he wants to come in and pay his tribute to his father. And I think you guys would probably work well together. So I said, all right, you know, I'll take the leap of faith here. I'm open to collaboration often, you know, I'll give it a shot. So I went down with the singer I was working with at the time in Gods and Monsters. And Jeff was there in the church, hiding kind of in a pew. And then I didn't see him, but I was packing my stuff up to leave outside the main room after this run-through. And this kid approached me, and right away I said, this must be Jeff Buckley, because he looked like the spitting image of Tim, yet a younger version. And he came up and he said, you're Gary Lucas, I love you, man. I love your guitar playing. I loved you with Captain Beefheart. I love what you were doing in there. And I said, well, oh, you were there? And he said, yeah, I just watched that. That was so cool. So I was impressed with this, naturally. I always respond well to, you know, praise. That seems genuine anyway. So I said, well, why don't you come over tomorrow to my apartment in Greenwich Village and let's try one of your dad's songs. Jeff came over the next day at the time. I set up a loop on my pedals and delays, started to play the opening figure, handed Jeff a mic, and he opened his mouth, and I had a jaw-dropping moment. My mouth opened too, but in astonishment, because he was so brilliant. And when we were done, I just said, Jeff, man, you're a fucking star. And he said, really? I am? I said, yeah. He was not that confident at that point.
Well, obviously his voice stands out as an incredible voice, one of the greatest of the last, say, 50 years But you, as somebody who knew him personally, what other gifts did he have as a musician?
Well, he was really sensitive, and he knew, besides vocally, he could play any instrument that he really set his mind to. He was a very accomplished guitarist, for instance, and he could play bass and drums. I saw him. You know, he was able to arrange some of the string arrangements, I think, even though they're credited to another guy, Jeff had a hand in. You know, he had paid his dues, and he'd gone to the Guitar Institute in L.A., where he was taught some very useful skills.
Over your entire career, you've collaborated with many, many people. But is there any single thread that you think runs through your work and your career?
I think the heavy thread of blues and a mystical, haunted, ghostly overlay, I think, are the major unifying principles in my approach. I know that Richard Mader, when he first approached me to play with him and do this Ghost of Prague album, came to New York. He said, I saw you at the Zhelezna Jazz Club. I did a gig there. And Mela from Plastic People were there. Some of them were there. He said, I love your ghastly guitar. And I said, you mean ghostly? Ghastly is a turnoff? No. So I think that there's this, it's what it is me trying to connect with the haunted world, the spirit world. You know, I feel in the ether around me ghosts, you know. I'm not saying it's like any special talent that I have, but let us say I'm very sensitive to vibrations for positive and negative. You know, I always am trying to scan my environment to pick up on this. I'm very sensitive, like Jeff.
Does that come through in your guitar playing?
I think so, yeah.
U.S. guitarist Gary Lucas, Ian Willoughby's guest on One on One.